Live from the EPB Fiber Optic Studio, this is WLND Signal Mountain, Chattanooga.
Health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and so much more. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, a production of Whitfield Media Group, with your hosts, Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World, and Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor.
Good morning and welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. Thank you for taking your time this Sunday morning to join us. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World, and joining me is Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified doctor and chief of staff, CHI Memorial, Georgia. Good morning, Dr. Green.
Good morning, Ed. So good, as always, to be with you this Sunday morning. Yeah, I think I'm still reeling and recuperating from last weekend and Riverbend. What a fun time that was, and it's so good for the city. Thank you, CHI Memorial, for all that you do for this town. Thank you for supporting North Georgia. Thank you for sponsoring this show. Thank you for putting a hospital in Northwest Georgia. I continue to be so excited about that, Ed, and I'm sure our listeners to hear that we're replacing CHI Memorial Georgia with a new facility within 5 years is such a momentous event. So thank you again, CHI. My thanks go out also to LHC Group. That's Louisiana Healthcare, another sponsor of our show through Home Care Solutions Home Health, which now has offices both in Ringgold and Dalton, as well as Heartlight Hospice of Dalton, serving the Northwest Georgia area. Thank you to all of you fine folks with whom I have the pleasure to work. Like you said, I've still got a little bit longer with CHI Memorial Georgia. I will be the chief of staff for at least one more month, so into July, and then I get to pass the torch to someone else. But it's been such a great honor to work with CHI and CHI Memorial Georgia this past year as we're trying to really rebuild the hospital from the inside out. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen in the next 5 years as we build that hospital. Just can't be more excited. So being a primary care physician in this area for 25 years has never been more fun than now. It just hasn't been any more fun. What's new in your world?
Thank you, my friend. And yes, I am Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga. Started in 1979. We certainly began as what would be called a health food store. And after the decades and years, we've evolved into what we more classify a wellness complex. We actually have a good number of practitioners from many different modalities, all of which I approve of, or they would not be in the complex. Everything from private training gyms with Mackie Pierre to counselors that are licensed to nurse midwife, Debbie Church, been delivering babies for over 40 years. My daughter is pregnant, be expecting in about 8 weeks. So I'm learning a whole lot about this delivery stuff. It seemed like I don't remember that back in the day when my daughter was born. That's been, you know, almost three decades. But times have changed, and it seems to be a far more efficient system today. We are growing. We're going to be opening a new building right next to Nutrition World in about two more months that will be housing seven other new practitioners. So it's a one-stop shop for people who want to kind of join forces with their conventional medical people and also bring in a little bigger team where everyone can work together for optimal health. So that's kind of what's going on. And we do have, I want to make sure, and I'm going to mention it a couple times, we have events at Nutrition World pretty regularly. And next, on June 8th, June 11th, Breaking the Cycle of Stress, Anxiety, and Depression. I'm flying a gentleman down who will be speaking on that. And on June 15th, we have a huge event called Fermentation Workshop with Sandor Katz. He is world-renowned. It is a event that costs money, and it will be educating everyone on how to ferment foods on their own in your house. Because fermentation is all about creating a healthy microbiome, which is the gut. And, you know, when we look at cultures around the world who eat fermented foods, they generally are far healthier. Do you like, now here, and I'm a huge fan of fermentation, Dr. Green, but I do not like kimchi. Do you, or do you ever eat that?
Never tried it.
It's got a whang, let me tell you. And my daughter loves it. Many people do. We sampled it in the store the other day, and it was all I could do. And I'm not one about taste buds, but the kimchi is the only fermented food I don't like. I love cabbage. I love sauerkraut, all the kefirs and all of that. And I will say kefir is generally unhealthy because most companies add so much sugar to them. But kefir itself is good if it's plain. But it's, they kind of turn it into liquid ice cream when you go to the grocery store and buy kefir.
You know, just the whole idea of fermented food is not appetizing. I just have to admit that.
Well, it is a mental block because we're talking about making something change because of aging it and letting it spoil. So, yeah, it isn't.
I'm hungry.
That's, you know, I mean, just imagine, I mean, even our great-grandparents, they loved buttermilk. My dad did. I don't.
True.
And that was the real buttermilk, not the stuff being sold today. So here we are always talking about the you know, that kind of stuff. And lastly, on June 22nd, we will be again talking about CBD. I will say that the FDA just had a meeting, actually a week ago, which was yesterday, and rightfully so, they have to step in because these companies are making wild claims. And I don't mind, you know, modest claims that are reasonable and are backed up with modest research, but there's a picture someone sent me yesterday of a new CBD store in Chattanooga. I can't even tell where it is. They're popping up so freaking fast on the big window. CBD for seizures, CBD for about 8 different diseases. No, you cannot be hawking goods like this. And here I am, the nutrition guy. I want freedoms in regard to education, but not, you cannot have no regulations about what you say a nutritional product can do, or it should be a drug and it has to be approved. And yes, there are applications for CBD on many areas, but you can't be posting signs. So I hope that something good does happen. And I do hope the FDA doesn't over-regulate, and I don't think they will, but... and again, repeat, CBD can cause you to lose your job. Do not believe the signs that say THC free. It might be and it might not be. So
definitely tell your employer, tell your medical provider if you plan to use them.
But even with that, if you're a truck driver, a pilot, a nurse, a few other jobs, it still can be risky. Do you have many of your patients asking you about CBD, Dr. Green?
Just every day.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the hottest topic right now. So everybody wants to try them for everything. That's what I'm hearing. The general consensus in the lay world seems to be that they can cure everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that came from. Maybe it's the false advertising. I don't really go and listen to the chatter, but I don't recommend it for a lot, really more anxiety, chronic pain, fatigue. And I've had patients that I would say easily, just at a guess, 80-85% see improvement. I mean, they really do. Mm-hmm. And then the other one said it didn't do anything and they stop. So I haven't seen any bad side effects, mm-hmm. but I do tell them, communicate that to your employer. Most of these mm-hmm. people are not on any controlled substance already, but they could lose their job. And it's mm-hmm. I haven't seen anybody lose their job. I have seen some people get in trouble. And so I just make a note of that, and I'll probably, just like you have come to the defense of people, I'll probably have to do that in the future as well.
Well, we did have a sad story of a truck driver who did lose his job within 2 years of retirement, and there was nothing that could be done about it because they have a zero policy at the trucking firm. And he did have a little minor wreck. So, you know, one thing leads to another, and then disaster happens. So, you know, be cautious. But we also are going to be having, first time ever, a dog health fair on June 29th. I have a lady who works for me, and she pretty much, her whole life is about learning about nutrition, holistic means to help dogs to be healthy. She has recovered her own dog from a very severe illness using only nutrition when the dog was given up to actually be dead within a couple months. So I value the innate healing capacity that we were given when we were born on this earth, and part of what we do is focus on strengthening that part of it, and it also applies to animals just the same as it would us. But again, I think the conventional veterinarian industry is where your medical industry was 15 years ago to 20. They are still totally wanting to own the turf and think they have all the answers, but yet they're treating a lot of symptoms, not realizing that they could do more if they would just open their mind, as you certainly have, Dr. Green, and I hope that does change. We do have two vets in town who are holistic. One's Dr. Smith, who owns Chai, C-H-A-I. I swear, I used to take my dog when I had one. She's excellent. The other thing, like we're going to talk about at this health fair, kibble. What is kibble? It's dry food. Kibble, we're going to have a lecture on kibble versus real food for dogs, question and answer, on July 20th. But kibble is not healthy for our animals. It's convenient. It's not very it's low price. It's easy because you just dump it in their bowl, but it is not supplying the needs that they have. We have cancer rates in dogs that are exploding, and they should not be. And are you a dog person?
Oh, yeah. Love dogs. Dogs love me.
Well, I being where I am in my life, I don't have one. It'd be unfair. I can't take care of them the way I should. I get home too late at night. But so we got a ton going on at Nutrition World on these lectures. Our goal is to help educate people. And, you know, I have a podcast called The Holistic Navigator. And on that, many, many times I will say this at the end of The Holistic Navigator is I separate people into two classes, learners and non-learners. And the people who are non-learners will probably continue to not change because we have to acquire knowledge and wisdom in order to make changes in our life, whether it be health, finances, whatever. And if you're not willing to learn, and many people quit learning the day they got their diploma from school, I have to say. So I'm encouraging people to open their minds and, you know, look for people they trust, like you, Dr. Green, and hopefully Nutrition World and our website.
And let me remind people, I was just thinking about general health and wellness. June is Men's Health Month, so let's remember that. If anybody wants to learn more, they can call the hospital, Memorial Hospital, which is 423-495-2525, or the Prostate Center, 423-495-3068. So a couple of convenient numbers, but any operator at Memorial will help direct you if you want to learn more.
Lovely. Well, it's time for us to take a break, and when we come back, we will be discussing prostate health. We've got that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World. I'm back again with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And I just realized that June is Men's Health Month because we have a wonderful guest on today, Dr. Lee Jackson from CHI Memorial. Welcome, Dr. Jackson, to Vital Health Radio.
Well, glad to be here. Thank you.
You know, the topic of men's health always focuses back normally on prostate health. And I know I have been in the business of nutrition for 41 years. And of course, a lot of people pursue both sides of the coin, conventional and a lot of holistic alternatives. So there's a lot of conversation on both sides about what do we do about prostate health? Should we be checking? Should we be doing all these PSAs? I know there's a term called the walking worried that I had read about years ago, because I think sometimes I have seen men's lives destroyed by both checking and not checking. But you are the expert. You have been doing this your whole life. So welcome to the show, and tell men that are listening and the wives of men and girlfriends maybe some more information that would be valuable.
Well, the wives and the girlfriends are most important because they're the ones that get the men into screening. Because while the risk of prostate cancer is very important in men's health, it's the last thing in the world the guys want to hear about, and it's the last thing in the world they want to investigate. But I always appeal to the women in their life. They're the ones who are going to get them in there and get them checked. Prostate cancer is the second most common cancer in men after skin cancer. It's the second leading cause of cancer death, but it's a highly variable cancer. So we really need to be very careful about how we approach it. But in order to have options, you have to find it first. Symptoms from prostate cancer are associated with late advanced disease, metastatic disease. You don't want to wait for that to happen. You got to, because early prostate cancer is silent, you've got to look for it. And we look for it with a blood test called the PSA, which, as you made mention, is controversial. There's been a lot of confusion associated with it. A government agency, the Preventative Task Force, in 2012 actually recommended against checking PSA. And the problem really wasn't that we were checking PSA, it was how we investigated clinical suspicion of prostate cancer. And we, for 30 years, have used ultrasound-guided biopsies, which is a very unpleasant test, by the way. Most men, if they've had it once, don't want to do it again. But it was a blind biopsy. Mm-hmm. And it would stumble upon prostate cancers, indolent prostate cancers that we really didn't need to know about. So that's overdiagnosis that led to a lot of anxiety, often led to overtreatment and mm-hmm. harm. Mm-hmm. And that's why the recommendation was made, let's not even look for prostate cancer. That was a mistake. The task force, the Preventative Services Task Force, has now walked that back and is now suggesting at least a conversation with your doctor about checking the PSA. A better way to investigate clinical suspicion of prostate cancer is with an MRI. That's now evolved enough and matured enough that it's a pretty reliable way. It does depend on, in large part, on the reader of the scan. It's not a simple scan to mm-hmm. interpret, but it can avoid a biopsy mm-hmm. 25-30% of the time. More importantly, it won't overdiagnose, but it won't miss a diagnosis. So it'll find a clinically important prostate cancer, then you can use the MRI image to target the biopsy. And then you've got because you've diagnosed it early, because you were looking for it, now you have options. And there are a lot of different management strategies. Many of these prostate cancers, we don't need to treat at all. We just need to keep an eye on them because mm-hmm. they progress slowly. And may not be a threat to that man during his life expectancy. This always needs to be interpreted in the context of life expectancy. But, you know, some men will benefit from surgery. Some men will benefit from radiation. If we pick them up when they're at their high risk for progression, they may need all of that. Mm-hmm. But
I know that the fear of biopsies is across the board with men, especially if they've heard other men who've had it or themselves. Mm-hmm. And I know years ago, insurance was not real friendly to the MRI thing, but today, so if a man or if you felt that that was valid, then insurance is friendly to compensating?
You're absolutely right. The insurance companies were very reluctant to, you know, proceed with an MRI. You know, they would frequently say, well, you need to go through an ultrasound-guided biopsy first. Mm-hmm. If nothing was found and there's still clinical suspicion that one may be at risk for that, then they would approve it. That's changed because there's now very high-level evidence in the literature that supports investigating first with an MRI. And one of the things that I see men respond positively to is when I tell them, you know, we may be able to avoid a biopsy. Okay, mm-hmm, count mm-hmm. me in on that.
That's wonderful. I know that is probably preventing a lot of men from actually investigating it because they think, oh, it's the only option. But now mm-hmm. you are obviously telling everyone that there is an easier way. And if you are just tuning in, you're listening to Vital Health Radio on 98.1 The Lake. And thank you for joining us. We are here with Dr. Jackson, a very well-known urologist here in Chattanooga, talking about June being the Men's Health Month. And, of course, that focuses on prostate health. I don't know if we interviewed someone or if I had been speaking, because I do a lot of talking to all parts of health, physicians all the way down the list. But one local urologist said he really looks at some of these prostate cancers in the same context that he would at hypertension, that it is we're going to watch, we're going to wait, and we're going to be smart about it, and we're going to manage. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that analogy, if it was appropriate for that patient. Because in the past, it seemed like there was a lot of reaction and a lot of aggressive jumping into this treatment, no matter what. If you're, you know, if you had a biopsy and it was no matter what level it was, there seemed like there was a little bit of a aggressiveness. Now that seemed like that's kind of gone away. And it's, and you're telling that there's a whole lot more common sense to this approach than there used to be. Is that right?
Well, you're absolutely right. We're learning, as everyone else does. When I was training in the 80s, which was prior to PSA, the only time you identified or diagnosed prostate cancer was late-stage prostate cancer. Our urology wards were filled with men dying from prostate cancer, which is a horrible way to die. It's almost impossible to control the pain and the symptoms and the spinal cord collapse, the spinal cord compression, the paralysis. It was just awful. That was in the 80s. In the late 80s, PSA came about to identify early prostate cancer. So there was a lot of enthusiasm for identifying early prostate cancer, and we overdid it. We operated on way too many men whom we now know didn't need that. So that was overtreatment, there was harm. So now there's a much more mature and rational approach to it, but we're still learning and looking at focal therapy and trying to minimize the adverse effects associated with treating prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. Prostate cancer is different than many other cancers in that the treatment, whether it's radiation or surgery, in that it affects some pretty important quality of life issues with men, urinary control and sexual function, and that is what frightens them the most.
Well, I know Dr. Green hears that probably also, don't you, in your practice, the fear of that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are still men that decline any screening, but we do have that discussion. I don't think we ever really quit after the recommendation against screening came out. Frankly, we started talking about prostate health more with our men because we're thinking, what do we do? We didn't know what to do. But we've continued to have that discussion in primary care, and I would say the vast majority of men still want to get their PSA. Many still don't want their prostate exam. I'd say that's the thing they're the most afraid of. But yes, as far as sexual function, that is the unwanted side effect of treatment they most fear.
Yeah, no question about it.
Yeah, out of curiosity, by the way, could you speak as to which groups, like African Americans, should look into screening more? Which people groups are more at risk?
Well, that's a great point. And African Americans, we have to be so careful with African Americans because they are at a higher risk. And family history, those are the two groups. If one has a family history, particularly a brother or a father, we need to interpret their screening differently. And African Americans, you have to have a high level of suspicion because they're at greater risk not only from having prostate cancer, but from having a more aggressive prostate cancer.
Interesting. And of course, on this show, you have to put up with Ed Jones's little two cents that I always plug in. I do know that the China study, which was certainly a popular book, and the physicians who did that study were reporting on, I think it was back in the 50s when they went back and they really looked at some significantly deep research data on something like 10,000 people. They actually found in autopsies that only 6 men had prostate cancer. We are partially doing this to ourselves. Vitamin D is so low in dark-skinned people that it is, in my opinion, one of the risk factors. When you have vitamin D less than 20 nanograms per milliliter, it's time to consider getting it above at least 32, but the goal is 50. And, of course, that's coming to fruition now with the research on PubMed. Of course, blending that in conventional medicine is a slow process, but I know that the door has been open and we all seem to be on a path of whatever helps the patient. But I'm, again, prevention. Can you speak more of prevention than I normally would? Or,
well, and I get this question all the time. What can I do to reduce my risk of progressing or developing it? And vitamin D, you're absolutely right. Diet, the simplest way to say it is a heart healthy diet is a prostate healthy diet. And I commonly advise men to lose their central fat. So a low carb diet, central fat is not inert. It is metabolically and hormonally active. And that's the one thing that I'm aware of that does have an impact on risk of developing prostate cancer or risk of prostate cancer progression. So I constantly urge men.
And we were talking habits earlier as well. So, alcohol, tobacco association there.
Well, certainly alcohol because of the, again, increased central fat. But I tell men to consider losing the weight and we gather it in our central abdomen. Consider it part of your treatment. You know, if they have a low risk prostate cancer that we're going to watch, you know, want to risk reduce your risk of having it progress, then change your diet, change your the way you live.
That's good for general health as well.
I do want to ask one quick question because we have about 2 minutes left, and this is something just real kind of something I've always wondered. Let's just, and I don't know the exact words to use, is prostate cancer less likely in a man who is actually sexually active, or is it increased in men who are not removing their semen on a regular basis?
That's a very interesting question, and there is a male health study that's been going on for almost 20 years, and I think it was based out of Australia, and indeed, frequent ejaculation does reduce the risk of prostate. It was the one variable wow. that they were able to identify.
What does frequent mean?
It meant pretty frequent, about 21 ejaculations per month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the wow. guys in my book club were thrilled to hear that. And they went home and told their wives, honey.
Okay. I love it, Dr. Jackson. We've got 1 minute left. How would someone contact you to if they have issues, they have concerns, you sound like a very caring and, of course, knowledgeable man. What would they do to contact you?
They can go to my personal website, which is drleejackson.com. They can call me at the office at 495-3068. The name of my practice is Memorial Robotics for Prostate Cancer, just because, you know, I do surgery, but my main role is to counsel men as to how to manage, how to investigate prostate mm-hmm. cancer, how to reduce their risk of developing it, and then if they have it, what are the different management strategies?
I love it. I love it. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Jackson. It is time for us to take another break. When we come back, we'll be discussing more about your health with Dr. Green and myself. So stay with us.
We're all about healthy living and enjoying life. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, back with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And again, we're talking about health. I don't know how many people know this, but I do have a national podcast called The Holistic Navigator. And actually, what I did this past week, Dr. Green, I love writing about health and nutrition. I posted a free ebook on The Holistic Navigator that had three tips that I probably would guess that maybe 0.00001% of the population would have any clue about as to health. And the reason that I do these things is because most people don't know. They're under the radar screen, and they are things that I personally have found to be a benefit to my life. And you know, we do it on the website so that, you know, we can get subscribers, which is what motivates the and keeps the website going. But I'll give you a little tip. One of these is on incline bed therapy. Have you ever heard much about that?
Tell me more.
Well, this guy, his name is Fletcher something, and I should have brought it up, but I didn't. He was an engineer, and 20 years ago, studying trees, he found and was looking at the sap, of how the sap runs up and down a tree. And then he made this analogy of why the human body does not do as well if we sleep completely flat. And so we started doing these studies a little bit. I mean, he wasn't a physician, but he was very, very intelligent. And he started experimenting and found that if we can elevate the head of our bed by 5 inches, a lot of good things happen. I mean, everything from waking up with less swelling under your eyes to not having headaches as much to not getting up as much at night to urinate, because he's saying the fluids become stagnant somewhat when you're completely flat, and if you have a 5-inch incline, they do not, which is so interesting to me. And, you know, me being the guinea pig of the world, I ended up doing this about 9 months ago, I will say. 9 months ago, I went and got me some blocks, and I put 5 inches under the head. And I can tell you that the way that I know that it's working is when I don't have it, because a lot of those things are like that. You gradually get benefits, and then you don't really realize how good they are until you don't have them anymore. As of, like, last night, I slept in a bed that didn't have it. And it's not life-changing now, don't get me wrong, but it makes a difference. And I wish that if you want ever try it, Dr. Green, get you two wood blocks. Give it 2 weeks of doing it, and you would be amazed how much better you feel. It is truly worthy of doing.
You know, I was researching a little bit while you were talking, so you can actually get a product online for under $100 to do it as well. You could also put a brick, you know, underneath the headboard. There are a lot of ways. See, we use that for heart failure is what we do that for. But in everything I'm reading, they don't even mention that.
No. I don't know if it's because they don't want to get into the medical part, but...
Well, they say Alzheimer's, diabetes, glaucoma, migraines, multiple sclerosis, sleep apnea. Sleep apnea makes sense. That one does. Yeah. Reflux, that makes sense. They talk about swelling of the legs, that it may help. If you elevate the head of the bed, it's probably not going to help your leg swelling or varicose veins. Maybe it will, but it doesn't make...
It doesn't make sense. Right. It doesn't make sense. And I know here I'm looking at, you know, the guy's Andrew Fletcher. And, I mean, he's saying this, do you have restless legs? You know what? I used to have off and on restless leg. And I will have to say I've not had one single experience since I have elevated the bed. Does that prove it? No, it doesn't. I don't need proof. I need common sense. This can't hurt anyone. And also, he says, on rising from the bed, does it take a while for you to become mobile? And here I am actually reading it and thinking on the air, because it is true. I can actually jump out of bed and be as though I were sitting in this chair and I had to stand up. I really have not even put that together until this moment. So I am still, I'm becoming more of a fan as I hear myself speak on inclined bed therapy. Again, I write about it on the Holistic Navigator. If you go on and sign up, you get the free ebook. Now, the other thing on this is, and I've mentioned this before, I think, to you, I do pick and choose who I mention it, because I don't want to be carted away to Valley, but I do, you know, use tape on my mouth every night. I tape my mouth shut every single night.
We've talked about that on the air.
Okay, I thought we did one time. And they still haven't carted me away, so I'm in good shape.
I think you're safe.
Yeah, the guys with the white coats will be right around the corner after we get finished here. No, here's the reason. First off, when you mouth breathe, it is not conducive to your optimal health. Why is that? It's because we naturally are in nature. We really are programmed not to mouth breathe. There was a doctor named Dr. Buteyko, which I absolutely love his research. He was a Russian physician back in the 60s, I do believe, and he came up with this theory about mouth breathing because he was studying animals, and he actually said that the majority of animals, like a zebra, a horse, not the dogs and cats, but some of the bigger animals, if you crush their nose or they get in an accident, they will be deathly ill or dead within 4 to 8 weeks if they have to mouth breathe. The reason it changes the game is this. Without getting into biochemistry, we all think oxygen is the, you know, the fuel, the octane, the magic potion for what runs us. It is, but also carbon dioxide. When you hyperbreathe, which is breathing too fast, you don't breathe. You breathe only in the chest, not in the lower abdomen, and you mouth breathe. What happens is your carbon dioxide goes down. What does carbon dioxide do? It relaxes the body. That's why people with asthma who have the short breaths and all of this tend to get worse. And if we can redistribute the ratio between oxygen and carbon dioxide by slowing the breathing down, breathing through the abdomen, not the chest, unlike teachers who teach, oh, you know, fill your chest and stick it out, that's wrong. You will then signal the parasympathetic-sympathetic nervous system to learn to be more relaxed. In fact, Dr. Buteyko always quotes this thing that he says. He says, you should breathe through your mouth as often as you eat through your nose. Well, okay. We don't do that very often unless you're sticking a tube down my nose.
And I'm also thinking the nose also humidifies the air. Mm-hmm. It's a filter. It changes the temperature. So it's a radiator for the body. So it really does do a lot. Think about it. If you have a cold and you're congested, your mouth works just fine, but you don't sleep well. If
Bingo.
You think about it, so you can't breathe through your nose. I've never really thought about that, and I've always thought that was an interesting thing that you do. We'll just call it interesting. I don't plan on taping my mouth shut. I talk too much.
Well, but here's the thing. It reduces snoring so significantly that your partner or even yourself, because when you snore, you're sometimes halfway or fully wake yourself up. And I have seen people actually not have to go to a CPAP machine if it's modest in their sleep apnea by taping their mouth shut. And secondly, this makes common sense. No one can argue with this. The drier your mouth is, the more gum and teeth problems you probably will have because of the breeding ground of the mouth. When you keep it moist and you don't wake up with a dry mouth, you find that your gum and teeth are far healthier.
Yeah, so, our dentists do teach that.
That's true. Here's the thing. You don't use Scotch tape. You have to get this tape, and Nutrition World sells it for $4.99. And you may know the name NextCare. It's kind of a pharmaceutical tape. But that's how you make it work, is through the use of that tape. I've only had one incident, and I've been taping for 4 years where I did wake up sick at my stomach one night, and it was a little bit of an urgent call. And it pulled off very quickly, where Scotch tape wouldn't. This you can pull off, so there's no claustrophobia as far as that. So I encourage people, if you want, go to the Holistic Navigator and, you know, read more about it.
Well, NextCare is made for skin anyway.
Right. Yeah. And you got any weird habits you want to share on the air? I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh, I drink way too much coffee. No, I pretty much have good habits. So,
well,
no weird ones that I know of. You can have to tell me.
Well, now you can feel free to tell on me about last week when we accidentally got into the refrigerator. I was looking for
is a bad habit. Okay.
Well,
yeah,
I was wanting to get Dasani water. Now that is the truth. And tell everybody what happened.
Well, we have a refrigerator in the studio that's full of monsters. So, as all of my staff knows, yeah, I will have the occasional monster. And yes, it's bad. I don't have any other sodas for the most part, but the occasional monster I will. My son started me on those years ago. And if you're really tired, do they work? Yes. I already drink coffee. It's about the only thing that gets to me. If I'm really tired, a monster will wake me up. So I looked through the refrigerator, saw one that said mango something. Do you remember the exact name? Mango Madness or something. But it has had a skeleton on it. I remember that, which is probably not a good sign when you're getting a beverage. But it did have mango and brightly colored monster I've never seen. Tried it, and it is excellent. Gave some to Ed, and he ended up taking two. So, Ed, you really enjoyed that mango monster, didn't you?
Well, I'm coming to testify in front of all the public that, yes, I loved it.
I corrupted Ed.
He did.
I'm so sorry.
He actually got a photo of me with thumbs up holding the monster. I have never had one in 62 years of living until last week. And I will tell you, I now see why people can get addicted to those. It kicked me in the butt.
It does?
And, you know, it gave me 3 or 4 hours worth of, you know, stimulant energy. I didn't feel terrible after dropping off. But, again, I'm not abusing them. I've had one in 62 years. I might have one every couple years, but I can see.
Well, my thought is this. Let's say you had to take a long trip. That was the first time I had one, and you're about to fall asleep. Which one is safer, driving that fatigued or having a monster? Well, have my monster. Be alert. You know, that's the type of situation I would use it in.
Bingo. And I always talk about risk against benefit. I mean, you know, there's a risk of putting your seatbelt on because some people die because they put the seatbelt on. Well, but that doesn't make sense. The risk is minimal and the benefit is great. And you're exactly right. Driving and being super fatigued or making decisions that can affect your whole life. If you're dragging your butt around, maybe, you know, once in a while is perfectly fine to do that. The once in a while stuff never gets us. It's what we do 80% of the time. In fact, you know, CNN right now has an article up says ultra-processed foods are easy, cheap, and could be killing you. And they actually did this study. I think it's the British Medical Journal. BMJ. And, you know, ultra-processed foods already make up more than half of the total energy consumed in many countries, USA, Canada, and UK. But
We always preach shopping from the outside of the store, fresh fruits, veggies, lean meats, all that. Give some examples of the ultra-processed food.
Well, of course, they're talking about things that sausages, mayonnaise, potato chips, pizza, cookies, chocolates, candies, artificially sweetened beverages, whiskey, gin, and rum. I will have to say they did leave tequila out, thank goodness. But all the other ones are bad. And I hope grocery stores don't start getting onto this shopping to the outside, because then they'll put the bad stuff out there.
Here
it is. Analyzing the data, the team found a higher consumption of heavily processed foods, which is more than 4 servings today, was associated with a 62% increase for early death due to any cause relative to those who ate these foods frequently. And in fact, each additional serving of the factory-made fare increased that relative risk by 18%.
Well, that does make sense. Think about it. Those ultra-processed foods aren't good for us. Increase obesity rates, atherosclerosis, so heart attack, stroke, obesity, diabetes, and cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense.
Perfect sense. Guess what? It's already time for us to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be having Dr. Green's spiritual moment. We've got that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World, along with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green, and we always look forward to Dr. Green's spiritual moment in this segment.
Thank you, Ed. The Spiritual Moment is brought to you by Silverdale Baptist Church. If you would like to learn more about Silverdale, just visit their website, which is silverdalebc.com, silverdalebc.com. They also have a wonderful app you can download for free. Well, let's start today with a couple of verses. First, the words of Jesus from Luke chapter 12, verse 7. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Are you hurting today? Well, when life knocks you down, fall forward. Jesus told us that the very hairs of our head are numbered. Surely the God who knows the exact count of hairs on our heads knows us very well and cares for us. He wants us to have a close relationship with Him. He wants us to talk with Him. Well, we can talk with Him about anything. We were told a little earlier in the verse to pray continually. In a literal sense, this is not a practical reality. But when our relationship with God is healthy and close, we think about Him often and speak to Him more often than we otherwise would. He desires greatly to have a close relationship with us and gave us free will to choose Him out of love for Him. He wants us to regularly ask Him for guidance and wisdom and for us to read His Word with a hunger and thirst for His presence. With 66 books in the Bible, we have plenty to read and study. The peace and comfort that Jesus gives in times of hardship is real and it's strong. Another source of strength and counsel in those hard times may come from your family or your friends. They can go a long way in helping you cope with the difficult times. You really learn the true nature of your friends during these times, and the godly character many show as they support you and pray for you is a refreshing reminder of the goodness you can find in your fellow man. If you need, there are also many wonderful Christian counselors in this area that can help guide you through these hard times. And if you thankfully are not going through a difficult time right now, and hopefully you're not, perhaps you can be a source of comfort, counsel, strength, and hope to one of your friends or family. Jesus taught us to show love for one another, and this is part of that calling. Live your life with a calling to love others and to accept love and help from others as well. Now, this is one of the highest callings we have. The highest is to love God with all of our hearts and minds, soul and spirit. And the second is to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that is your spiritual moment for the day. Ed, back to you.
Thank you, my friend. Always words that are meaningful to all of us, me included. I don't want to keep harping on the same thing. I interviewed Dr. McCullough about 4 weeks ago on my Holistic Navigator podcast, and we talked about EMFs and electromagnetic fields. And I am convinced that we are, with the conversation of EMFs, not exactly, but kind of where we were in the 1950s on cigarette smoking. The EMF issue is not conducive to our health if we super expose ourselves. That's the thing. And I'm not a radical person who says we should live in a cave. We can't. We have to take relative risks that are managed. But here's my take-home message. The new 5G technology, the exposure of our brains to continual electromagnetic fields has never been tested in the history of mankind. When you consider just thinking about yourself, if you're 40 years old, what it was like 25 years ago with no cell towers, you had your television and you had a corded, you may have had a cell phone, I don't know when exactly, but not much, not for very long. And you certainly weren't on it all day long and holding it against your head. Well, what happens is there's a certain thing called calcium channel voltage regulators in the body. And when you expose your brain to EMFs, it's causing the calcium to actually cause an excitatory effect within a cell. And that's why we're starting to see more and more studies that are pointing to the fact that it is not the healthiest thing. So what is my advice is this: create a sleep sanctuary. Don't worry about your EMFs during the day. Do what you got to do. Life is running fast. We got to keep up the pace. But when you go home to bed, you keep everything 5 feet away from your head. That's not super easy because we are so addicted to our phones. And let me say this. Years ago, probably 5 or 6, I bought several $1,000s worth of equipment, and I would go into homes to check for the EMFs. Because the wiring behind your bedroom is a big source, and you don't know what's behind your walls. You didn't build the house. And I was finding people, sometimes people who were having significant insomnias and mental issues, not that it caused it. It only can trigger and contribute. But their wiring was right at their head. It was like sticking their head next to a microwave oven. And this is the other part. When your light is on next to your bed, it, of course, puts out EMFs. Guess what? It puts out similar EMFs when the light is turned off because the electrical cord is plugged into the wall. The only way to stop it is to unplug the light. So create a sleep sanctuary. Do everything you can to minimize it during your 7 to 9 hours in your bedroom. And that's the only option that I see because I'm not giving up my cell phone, and I don't think you are either, Dr. Green, are you?
Never. I have to live with that thing.
Yeah, it's imperative. I mean, if you're working for a living, there is no other choice. But that's another.
And you can't totally get rid of electromagnetic fields. We're always exposed, really.
Well, we're always exposed, but you can minimize in your house if you want to. And Dr. McCullough made a good point. There's a machine that you can buy, and I forget the name. It's on, again, my interview with him on the Holistic Navigator. But it's relatively inexpensive, and what it does is it cuts off the electricity in your bedroom. And you can do this by flipping your switches on your fuse box, but then, of course, then you're totally dark. But that's the radical way of doing it. Here's my take. We all think we go to the beach and we feel so much better just because we don't have to work. But there's two things, I think, at the beach that actually are more conducive to our feeling more energetic and happier and joyous. Two things. One is at the beach, you are going to have less EMFs because have you ever seen a cell phone tower in the ocean? No. Yes, they're out on the land, but it tends to be at least half of where you are is not directly in between cell phone towers. Secondly, it's something called grounding. That means that you are with your bare feet connecting to the electromagnetic fields of the earth like we're supposed to be. We didn't start wearing shoes that were made of plastic materials until 50 years ago or 100 or whenever. We wore shoes. If we did, they were made of leather. Guess what? Leather still conducts the electricity with the earth, the good electricity. So when you ground, you are balancing so much of your body. In fact, Dr. Green, I don't know if many people know this, there's a cardiologist named Dr. Sinatra, and there are also studies showing this. If a person's on Coumadin and they go out and they ground for 45 minutes, it's going to increase the thinness of their blood, and there needs to be addressed. Because you could get too much thinning and then there's issues. So when you're not taking Coumadin, it just makes your blood healthier as far as viscosity. It's no danger. But grounding's potent stuff, and I really value that. And I'm going to the beach in a week, and I'm going to do some serious grounding. And I know you are going soon, too. And
absolutely. I can't wait. So you're saying we should go on vacation a lot is what you said.
You know what? Let's see. We talked about a man needs to remove his sperm 21 times a month. And then you just said that.
Go to the beach, take off your shoes. That's the other thing.
We need to go to the beach 21 times a year.
Let's move the show to the beach.
There you go. Well, we both make enough money here from the free Dasani water we drink that we might.
And Monsters.
Yeah, we got it. I can't ruin my reputation too much. I only had one. Did it one time.
We teach the 80-20 rule. You don't have to be perfect.
Well, I guess next week we'll talk about the Monster I probably will grab on the way out, but I'm not drinking it. It's like a security blanket for me. I'm going to stick it in my fridge.
And for the listeners, no, it's not a healthy habit. So but if you have a Monster, don't do it every day.
Let me tell you, when I looked at the ingredients, there's levels of impure ingredients. I won't say the number one, but the number two or three worst ingredient that I despise is corn syrup. Monsters do not have corn syrup. Hmm. It has glucose and real sugar. Do you know, Nutrition World used to sell Coca-Colas because they came from Mexico and they were not using corn syrup. Corn syrup is devastating to your health. Sugar's not healthy, but it's far less injuring than corn syrup on many levels. So there's my take on the corn syrup issue.
You found a healthy component of Monsters. I'm amazed.
I'm trying to look on the bright side and make something good out of something bad, but I'm also telling the truth. If you have to have a drink, drink something without corn syrup, drink it with sugar, and you will be better off. But don't use it as an excuse. Don't say, well, Ed Jones said I could drink sugar, or Dr. Green said that. No, we're not saying that. And it is a 90-20 rule, so always fun when the phone rings when you're on the radio.
And we've been talking about our EMFs.
I know. I just got a surge of it right there. And I do. Oh, I got to say this. Nutrition World, which I do have. Look here. I don't know if I ever showed you, Dr. Green. This cell phone case that I have 100% blocks the EMFs. 100%. You actually leave it closed and you listen through these holes. And I've used my testing equipment. Nothing comes through this. When you have it open, it is blasting like microwaves. So if you want to protect your cell phone from your head and your ear and your brain and your brain tumors, then.
And in my past research for those, it's the EMFs, the real risk is high levels and prolonged.
Yeah, exactly. But the new phones are high levels, and then many of us are prolonged. Well, that does it for this week's edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial, 98.1 The Lake. It is a production from the Whitfield Media Group and website by Avalon. Thank you for listening. We'll be back here again next Sunday at 9 a.m. for a radio show that's all about your healthy living. For Dr. Christopher Green from CHI Memorial, I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga. Have a healthy and safe day.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake with Ed Jones and Dr. Christopher Green. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, is a production of Whitfield Media Group. Join us next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and have a great weekend.